In the name of the one who created us, redeemed us, and sustains us. Amen. The destiny of humans cannot be separated from the destiny of the earth. All of our readings today carry a similar message. They are warnings to those who have privilege and vast wealth and power of the dangers of reliance on wealth and power rather than on God as the source of success. Amos was a farmer in a town south of Jerusalem that is today simply a ruin. The Lord called him to be a prophet to speak truth to the rulers in the southern kingdom of Judah as well as the northern kingdom of Israel. Amos is one of the minor prophets in the Hebrew scripture who continually rails against the powerful for using their power to advance themselves and not to care for those whom they're called to serve. I can imagine as a farmer what he felt as he saw people around him starving while the rich ate the best of his produce and livestock. Amos says, "While the common folk slept on thin woven mats upon the ground, these leaders lay on beds of ivory. They sprawled upon their couches. They ate veal and the choicest lambs of the flock without a care, it seems, for the future of the flocks and the herds." Amos is a favorite prophet of a modern day prophet and personal mentor, Verna Dozier, a little African-American woman who was a teacher and railed against the hoarding of resources by the wealthy while the needs of the poor are largely left unmet. At St. Mark's Church in the shadow of the U.S. Capitol in Washington, the memorial window for Verna is the prophet Amos, railing against corrupting power and extreme wealth. What a perfect location. To those of us privileged to be born and live in a country who have so much, it's a reminder of the consequences if we do not take heed and pay attention to the needs of our world. Amos says, "Woe to them that are at ease in Zion and trust in the mountain of Samaria, but are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph." The affliction of Joseph is a reference to Jacob's younger son, who was cast into a pit to die by his brothers while they sat around the pit and had a meal as he cried out for help. Historically, this prophecy of Amos to the northern kingdom became reality just 20 years after Amos wrote these words, when the Assyrians invaded and occupied the north. The wealthy residents of the northern kingdom had little regard for the plight of the people, and as Amos prophesied, they lost their country and were occupied by the Assyrians, later by the Persians, then the Greeks, the Romans, the Crusaders, the Ottoman Empire, and finally the United Kingdom. Israel was not a sovereign country again until May 14, 1948, with the creation of the State of Israel. The message of Amos is a clear one. Pay attention before you lose it all. Our wealth doesn't fundamentally come from ourselves, but as a gift and circumstance of our birth. These past 2 weeks, we've witnessed modern-day prophets during and following the events of the UN Climate Action Summit in New York. Most prominent among these prophets is little Greta Thunberg, the 16-year-old Swedish climate activist who has galvanized the imagination of the youth and of the whole world. Greta gave a stirring rebuke as she stood before the leaders of the world saying, "How dare you? You have stolen my dreams and my childhood." Lest we think this is just hyperbole of a hot-headed teenager who doesn't know the world, we can see direct parallels to Amos, who rang the warning bell about the consequences of inaction. Hearing this prophetic voice from a young person reminds me of the prophet Isaiah, who said, "The wolf shall lie with the lamb, the leopard lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and fatling together, and a little child shall lead them." It's often easy to dismiss the voices of the young as inexperienced, but the leadership we see coming from our young people is finally moving the needle on this issue. At a clergy conference this past Tuesday, we discussed this issue at length. A soon-to-be ordained 30-year-old woman said she and her husband have serious reservations about the ethics of bringing a child into this world that is deteriorating because of climate change. The climate has many ripple effects that are inevitable. If any of you have seen a map of Connecticut 100 years from now, you will notice the entire coastline of our state will be changed. The cities of Stamford, Bridgeport, New Haven, New London, and every coastal town will be transformed by the anticipated 3 to 6 feet rise in sea level. And the loss of real estate is just the tip of the problem. As droughts and severe storms increase, there will be wars over food, water, and other natural resources. Warmer water will affect the fish populations and sea life in general. I sat there and realized at that conversation that my generation has failed our world by not addressing the most pressing issue of our time. We are leaving a world in serious danger of losing our very civilization and life on this planet as we know it. Amos does have a lot to say to us today. Immediately after her speech to the world leaders, critics came out of the woodwork calling Greta a mentally ill child, which was a veiled reference to her Asperger's syndrome. And she was publicly mocked as a young, happy girl with a bright future. If you are like me, I look at this problem and think, I couldn't possibly do anything significant to improve the climate or make any difference. The problem is so immense that it's beyond my own ability to do anything. At the clergy conference gathering, I was proved wrong. A colleague brought up a CNN quiz on reducing our carbon footprint, and the results surprised many of us. Many of us think stop driving or whatever is the answer. The top two things you and I can do to reduce our personal carbon footprint is related to food. The first is simply to throw away less food altogether. I don't know about you, when I was a kid, we would go to the store almost every day and get what we needed, or every few days, not stock up for weeks at a time. Shopping at the store and buying smaller quantities to reduce food waste is the equivalent to taking nearly a half billion cars off the road. It saves the energy used to produce the food and the energy we use to dispose of it. Secondly, switching to a more plant-based diet is like removing 464 million cars off the road. According to Project Drawdown, if all the world's cattle were to form their own nation, they would be the planet's third largest emitter of greenhouse gases. So eating less meat, especially beef, is good for our planet. There is a movement called Meatless Monday. It invites us to refrain from meat one day a week as a concrete step to reduce our carbon footprint and, importantly, to improve our personal health. Sounds simple, but it could have a big impact. Having two vegetarians in my household is moving us in this direction. It is also why we here at St. Peter's are moving toward using biodegradable products and stopping our reliance on styrofoam and plastic products when we wash dishes and utensils that we already own. Not only is this good environmental and health policy, but paying attention to our environment is grounded in a theological understanding of creation and our stewardship of all that God has given us. Our failure to take concrete actions in our personal and communal life is to ignore both the promptings of the prophets of the Hebrew scripture like Amos, as well as the commandments of Jesus to care for our neighbors, which increasingly go beyond the dignity of human beings to the dignity of the world around us. Our diocese has launched a movement within the larger Episcopal Church to amend the baptismal promises in the prayer book to include a larger and wider respect for all creation. Our diocese passed a resolution last year to include the following language in the rite of baptism. In addition to the five promises, we will now begin to say, "Will you cherish the wondrous works of God and protect the beauty and integrity of all creation?" And we answer, "I will, with God's help." This has been included moving forward in the baptismal covenant in the future. We're invited by God throughout the scriptures to be stewards of this good creation. Our failure to do so ignores the gifts God has given us and increasingly puts our entire planet and future in danger. We can no longer think that this is only a global problem that's too big for us to address, or to complain that other nations aren't doing enough as much as we are. Amos tells us, "Woe to those who are at ease in Zion and those who feel secure on Mount Samaria." We could very easily replace those places with the United States, the state of Connecticut, or the town of Hebron. The prophetic message is the same. May we give thanks for those prophets who hold up a mirror to us, while it may be painful, that we might go beyond our own concerns of ease and comforts to the well-being of our neighbor, which includes all creation.